Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey everybody, welcome to Best Show Best, the best of the best show. And you can find out more about the best show over at thebestshow.net. It airs live every Tuesday night from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Standard Time. And if you're new to the program, this show, these are little bite-sized bits and greatest hits type samples of what we do every week. So if you like this, maybe you check out the full show. And if you want to support The Best Show, we have a Patreon set up over at patreon.com/thebestshow. That is how you support the program. It is listener-sponsored now, and you give what you can, and we appreciate it. And there are prizes and benefits at all different levels of giving. So, again, go to patreon.com/thebestshow and support the show. And now, please, without further ado, check out this episode of Best Show Best. Best Show, hi.
Hey, Tom. Troy in Newbridge Towers here.
Hey.
Happy pre-gobble day to you and yours.
Well, thanks. Thanks, Troy. Happy Thanksgiving to you, too.
Thank you. Any plans?
Yeah, you know, just family stuff. I guess, you know, nothing too outrageous.
Right.
Well, how about you? What kind of plans do you have?
Oh, well, you know, it's funny. My wife, Sheila, she's totally fed up with cooking and having the kids complain about it every night. So we're going to go to Little Caesars Pizza. And they actually have a Thanksgiving special on Thursday, which is really cool.
Wow. Little Caesars is open on Thanksgiving. That's that pizza shop that caters to, like, mean, angry children, right?
That's right. And I'll tell you, my kids are the meanest and the angriest I've ever met.
Uh-huh.
And that's shameful stuff.
Really?
Yeah.
They're just mean little bleeps.
Yeah, and they're getting meaner. I don't get it. I don't know if it's a new thing with kids now or if my kids are just extra mean. I don't like it, but you know what can you do? They locked me in my car the other day.
Your kids locked you in your car.
They did, with like a giant padlock. Where do these kids get a giant padlock? I don't know. You know how on those commercials where the wife will come out on Christmas morning and the husband presents her with the car with a giant bow?
Yes.
They somehow procured a giant lock that's the same size as that.
As the bow?
Yes.
And you were in your car when you saw the lock coming.
All right, here's the deal. I fell asleep in the car. I had a little bit too much. I'm celebrating a little pre-Thanksgiving celebration.
Sure. So you were just kind of laying out in the car.
Actually, it was pre-Halloween.
Okay.
Yeah, so it was a while ago.
Yeah. Well, you know, look. So party every night if you want.
Right.
That's your
like,
business.
Like Kiss said, party every night.
Is that what they said?
I'm going to party every night, so get out of my way, comma, you fool.
I'm not sure if that's the exact Kiss lyric, but
Wait,
Little Caesars, that's over at Newbridge Commons, right?
That's correct, yes.
That's a pretty fancy mall.
Well, it's cool. I'm not sure if you've been to this new place. It's actually right next to Little Caesars. Massage Gluttony? Have you been there yet?
Massage Gluttony.
It's kind of like a partner store to the original one, which was Massage Envy. You've probably seen those, right?
Massage Envy, sure. Yes.
Yeah, it's Massage Gluttony.
Uh-huh. So it's kind of reveling in, like, Envy was just the starting point for things like that?
Yeah, I guess that one went over so well, and you see those things all over the country now, so they've branched out and they've got Massage gluttony, they've got massage greed, massage sloth, massage avarice, which I'm not even sure what that is. Do you know what that is? Avarice.
Mike, what's avarice? Mike says it's greed also, so I guess there must be some version of...
What are the others? There's, you know, there's that movie Seven, so I guess the seventh one is a head in a box.
Yes, massage head in a box.
I think so.
Yeah, massage decapitation.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Could be. Oh, man, speaking of death, did you hear that Charles Manson passed on?
Uh-huh. I did hear he finally shuffled off this mortal coil.
He did. And I tell you know, it's I know it's a big deal now, but it's gonna be in, like, you know, like 3 years, you're gonna be saying, God, it seems like just yesterday Charles Manson passed.
Yeah. I mean, I gotta say though, saying passed, it's a weird kind of thing. It makes him sound like grampy or something.
Right. Well, he probably wasn't grampy to somebody.
Yeah, I don't
no
know.
No one liked him.
No one liked him. He was one of those guys. Not
bad
a
dude.
Bad dude. No one liked him.
They didn't, and they really didn't like his music, which is a whole crazy thing. I'm not sure if you know about that or not. I'm sure you do. You're a big music fan. Mm-hmm. The whole thing about his music aspirations, it's so weird, and that he wrote and recorded those songs before the murder, so he tried to get something going on.
Yeah, he was trying to get signed. Trying to get a career, like a record deal.
I guess he did demos, right?
Yes, he recorded demos. I think Terry Melcher did demos with him.
That sounds right. Yeah.
But nobody bit on them.
No, it didn't do anything for him, but I'll tell you what it probably did do. I think it helped him later on in his life when he got into that session work.
Uh-huh. Wait, what are you talking about? He got into session work?
Yeah, all those records he played bass on.
Charles Manson.
Yeah.
He played bass on, but he was in, I don't know if you are correct on that. I mean, he was in jail for most of his life.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's the same concept, and, you know, it's the same thing as, what's his name? H.R. When he sang that lead vocal for that song on Eye Against Eye called Sacred Love, he sang that from a jailhouse payphone, right? Remember
that's
that?
Right, yes. That's like a legendary story that he was in jail during the recording of the album, mm-hmm. and they hadn't finished the song yet. They were trying to finish the album, and then they kind of rigged up this way for him to sing the vocal into a payphone.
Right, and that's why it sounds so kind of tinny and crackly. That's, he was actually doing that. It's a pretty interesting story.
It's actually what's on the album.
Yeah. Well, you know, Manson did the exact same thing, but with the bass guitar.
He hooked up a bass?
Yeah, only it wasn't just one song, it was hundreds.
He played on hundreds of songs?
Yeah.
Like what songs are anything we would have heard of?
Well, the first big one, the first number one he ever did, was Brandy by the Looking Glass. Remember that one?
Brandy by the... That was, yeah, that was...
Like,
that one.
There's a port. It didn't sing it like that, but it was kind of... There's a port.
Over Fish Gold
Bay.
Is it
on or in? On a Western Bay.
That band was from New Jersey.
Is that right?
The Looking Glass from New Brunswick.
Oh, my God.
From New Brunswick, New Jersey. Yeah.
Ooh. Well,
I thought it was just a regular band. I didn't know about this, what you're talking about.
Yeah, well, the story is that the producer, a guy named Mike Gershman, he didn't think their bassist had the right feel and touch for that song, and he mistakenly thought that Charles Manson was the bassist on this Beach Boys song called Never Learn Not to Love, and I'm sure you know the origins of that song.
Sure, that was actually... Manson song was the basis for that song. That song Never Learn Not to Love was a reworking of the song called Cease to Exist.
That's right, yeah. And Gershman was apparently adamant that he wanted that bass feel for Brandy, and it was probably Carol Kay or someone like that who actually played the bass, but for some reason Gershman thought that Charles Manson played the bass on it. So he went to these extremes to figure out a way to get Manson to play bass on Brandy. And what happened was he ends up smuggling a bass into the prison where Manson is inside a canoe. And they ended up hooking the bass guitar into a payphone, and it actually sounded really good.
Huh.
Isn't that crazy? But it's interesting because Manson was not a good guitar player, but it turns out he really had this knack for playing the bass. And he ends up nailing the song in like one or two takes, you know, before the guard came over to start wailing on his ass. And before that happened, Manson stuffed the bass down his pants, and the guard never saw it, and he kept using it.
Oh, that's insane.
That's how it was, apparently. And from there on, Manson got this rep as the man with the golden fingers. You hired him, and your chances of having a hit were really elevated.
So you played on other hits?
Oh, yeah.
Like what songs?
Oh, my God, got an hour? Probably don't. Off the top of my head, Bad Bad Leroy Brown, Jim Croce, Kodachrome, Paul Simon, all those hits by Bread. Jumping forward a little bit, A Fifth of Beethoven by Walter Murphy, The Freak, Good Times. It's not really known that Bernard Edwards didn't play on any of those Chic songs. That was all Charles Manson.
Okay.
Silly Love Songs by Wings.
Oh, Silly Love Songs, Paul McCartney and Wings song.
Yeah, which is interesting because, you know, McCartney, he knew it was uncool to have Charles Manson on a song, but he also knew that only Manson could really give the song that bass goose that it needed to become a huge hit, you know, that super bass goose.
Okay, the super bass goose.
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't know that was...
He also played on most of the Cars debut album, Clear Steering Wheel Woman, and also a lot on the Clash's double album, Bass Smasher.
That album... Do you remember when that album, Bass Smasher, like that just changed the face of music?
It did. It did. What else did he play on? Physical, Olivia Newton-John.
Okay.
He even played bass on that Metallica album, Crumbling Blind Lady Holding Two Big Cough Drops on Chains.
Uh-huh. I'm not sure if that's what that album's called.
What do you think it's called?
I thought it might be. Are you sure it's not And Justice for All?
Is it? I don't know. Well, anyway, that's why the bass is so low in the mix on that album, because Lars, their drummer, he had second thoughts, and he was concerned that people wouldn't buy it if they knew Charles Manson played bass on it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, I got to say, it's funny that, Troy, that you seem to know, clearly seem to know so much about music, but you keep getting the names of these, like, very famous albums wrong.
Oh, you know, I've been told that over the years. I think what happens is I just get so wrapped up in the music on the records that the covers just become, not invisible, but they become irrelevant to me. I don't care about them.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, and the titles, too, you know?
Sure. Well, that's very interesting that's how you see the packaging and the art on the thing.
Yeah, the title just doesn't register with me for some reason.
Huh. I wonder if I, you know, this could actually be a fun little game here if I gave you some, you know, some songs from albums that have, like, famous iconic album covers and see if you, to see what you would think the album was called.
Oh, okay. That's interesting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Sure. I guess Fire Away.
Uh huh. Fire Away.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Well, let's see. How about like the Devo album that has Whip It on it?
Oh, that one. That's called Redheaded Dweebs in the Flag Room.
It's actually called Freedom of Choice.
What?
Yeah.
Huh.
How about the Judas Priest album that has another thing coming on it.
Oh, that's the curse of the razor blade fingers.
No, it's British Steel.
Hi, everybody. Tim Heidecker here to let you know about our latest episode of Office Hours Live.
Office Hours is great fun.
With the great John Early and Theda Hamill.
Very handsome.
Thank you. They're here to talk about their new movie, Stress Positions. And we just had a wonderful time. There was a lot of laughter and joy. Don't believe me? Well, listen for yourself on the podcast app of your choice. You're not going to want to miss a second. That's at Office Hours Live at the podcast app of your choice.
Bum, 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 bum.
I love Vic and Doug, and I love drinking my wine.
The Beatles album that has Eleanor Rigby on it. You know that one?
Pencil Sketch Daydream?
What's that?
Pencil Sketch Daydream.
Pencil Sketch, no, it's Revolver.
Oh.
Yeah.
Huh.
How about, how about the Rolling Stones record that has, Gimme Shelter on it?
Oh, that's called, Rock and Roll Bicycle Film Pie.
What's that?
Isn't it?
Rock and Roll
Bicycle Film Pie.
Well, no, it's Let It Bleed.
Oh,
let's think of another one. How about Nirvana, the record that has Smells Like Teen Spirit on it?
Oh, that's called Wet Baby Money Grab, right?
It's Never Mind.
Okay.
Yeah. Do you know Zappa at all?
Oh, yeah, I love Zappa.
How about the record, very famous one, that has Peaches and Regalia on it?
Oh, that's called Revenge of the Pool Monster, right?
I know. No, that's Hot Rats.
Ooh, okay.
Because he's rising out of. Yeah. How about the Who record with Bob O'Reilly?
Oh, that's called Urination Station. Isn't it?
It's called Who's Next.
Oh.
And then there's a Queen. Do you know Queen?
Yeah, yeah.
What about the Queen record that has, this is a biggie, has We Will Rock You on it?
I love that album. That's called Squisher the Giant Robot.
No, it's News of the World.
Why is it called that?
I don't know. Actually, I think you might have come up with the more accurate title on that.
I think
one.
So.
Squisher the Giant Robot.
Yeah.
Yeah. How about the Ramones record that has, do you remember Rock and Roll Radio on it?
Oh, that one's called Jacketless and Softened.
Jacketless and Softened.
Isn't it?
It's End of the Century.
Oh, that makes sense.
Yeah, not...
Right.
Oh, actually, Jacketless and Softened makes a lot of sense also.
It does, too. Well, all of mine make sense.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Supertramp, do you like them?
I do, yes.
I love the one with the logical song.
Yeah,
the logical song is a biggie. What's that album called?
That album is called One Juice Coming Up.
No, it's called Breakfast in America.
Oh.
The Police record that has let me think of one. How about the Police record that has Every Little Thing She Does Is Magic?
Oh, that's called The Computer Men.
No.
What's it called?
Ghost in the Machine.
Huh.
The Replacements have an album that has the...
Love the Replacements.
Yeah, big hit song, I Will Dare.
Oh, that's called Rooftop Rendezvous.
It's called Let It Be.
What? What? There's already a record. There's already at least one record called Let It Be.
Yeah, that's kind of the point of the...
Yeah. Oh, okay.
How about Led Zeppelin... The biggie that has Stairway to Heaven on it.
Oh, I love that one. It's called Old Herb the Stick Collector.
Old Herb the Stick. No, it's Led Zeppelin 4.
Oh, because it's the fourth one. I get it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How about The Boss? You like The Boss?
Oh, I love Bruce Springsteen, yes.
How about there's a double album, had Hungry Heart on it.
Oh, yes, Man Face.
Man Face. No, it's The River.
There is a song on it called The River,
there
right?
There is, yes. U2 had an album, a big album, had Sunday Bloody Sunday.
Oh, I love that album, yes. That's called Kid Face.
kid face. Now it's war. You really are very literal with these things.
Well, that's what the cover is. I look at the picture, and that's what I think. I know the title is, but I guess
sure.
You're kind of making me rethink all this.
I got to do. I'll do a couple more of these.
Okay, sure.
Let me think. Let me think a couple of good ones. Oh, Fleetwood Mac record has all the hits on it. Go Your Own Way, Dreams.
Oh, that was my favorite record as a kid.
What's that one called?
It's called Dangle Balls and the Ballerina.
What? What's that one?
It's called Dangle Balls and the Ballerina. Why?
It's called Rumors.
Why? Oh, because they were tapping each other.
Okay.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, what's the last one?
Well, last one we'll do is Pink Floyd.
Oh, okay.
Album has Welcome to the Machine, Have a Cigar.
Ooh, yes, I like that one.
What's that called?
That's called Burning Movie Studio Executive.
Oh, it's called Wish You Were Here.
Oh.
Yeah, another one has the song on it.
Oh, I have a headache now.
Yeah, me too.
You do too, right?
That was a fun game, though. Very weird, though, to hear how you think about these things, though.
Well, don't make me feel bad.
Well, I didn't mean to make you feel bad. It's very interesting. How about that?
Oh, that's not at all condescending. You know, you can't talk to me like that because I'm the president of the Newbridge Hose Owners Association.
Uh-huh. Okay, I gotta just say, nobody cares, honestly. I don't care if you're president of the Newbridge Homeowners Association.
No, I didn't say that. I said I'm president of the Newbridge Hose Owners Association.
What is that?
It's exactly what you think it is.
Yeah, okay. Well, I gotta say, the first thing that pops into my mind, it seems like you're probably talking about something really dirty.
How dare you insult me like that? I'll have you know I'm very spiritual. I don't do drugs or drink alcohol either.
Uh-huh. Okay. Well, look, I'm sorry. I just was going on first impressions, and it sounded like something that could be, like, sexual.
Oh, it is. Yeah, it's positively filthy. It's just patently offensive stuff.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, it runs the whole sleazy gamut from to. You might have had to beep a little bit.
I had to bleep. The only words that got in were from and to.
And to?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
And I almost bleeped two.
Yeah, because you thought I was going to say two. You bleeped that.
That's
didn't you?
Exactly where I thought you were going with it.
Well, I know. I know how it goes.
Yeah.
Oh, hey.
What's that, Troy?
You're going to go see Eddie Trunk at City Winery? He just announced that he's doing some kind of show there.
The DJ, the Eddie Trunk, the radio personality who is the guy who keeps metal. He feels like he's the ambassador for heavy metal.
Well, I think at this point he thinks he owns metal.
Yeah, I think he thinks he's more of a heavy metal. He's more heavy metal than people who make music.
I think it's true.
Yeah.
What do you think that show would be? I think it might be like him on a stool, mm-hmm. just looking at his phone and saying who, like, what famous rock person was texting him.
Yeah, I think you might be right. What if he just hooks his phone up to a screen and waits for the calls to come in, and everybody can just see on this screen, they can see that Juan Crucier from Rat is texting Eddie, checking in, saying, what's up, man?
I like it.
Rachel from Skid Row. Yeah, is just checking in saying, yo, Eddie, happy Thanksgiving.
See you in Vegas, bro.
Yeah.
And then him talking about how much he wants to move to Vegas for like 10, 15 minutes.
And then he reviews what problems he has with who gets into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Yes, yeah.
And how... Well, I mean, if it's fine if they want to just call it, If it's a popularity contest, then let it be a popularity contest. That's fine. If you want to let NWA and Tupac in, you notice how that's who he always gets twisted about?
Yeah.
There's
yeah.
some, huh, I wonder what the...
underlying thing there.
Yeah, yeah. He's moaning about NWA and Tupac getting in. Just, huh. Wonder why these guys are ruffling Eddie's feathers.
Right, yeah. Although he did vote for the Meters. No, he didn't. Can you imagine?
Yeah.
Can you imagine his eyes going down the list and seeing the Meters and wondering what it is?
Imagine him going past that and then scribbling it out on the ballot and writing in. Imagine who he's writing in on the ballot.
He'd write in UFO.
He writes UFO in. Yeah.
Yeah.
Dawkins.
Do him again.
I mean,
like do him talking about Foreigner.
Well, I'll say this about Foreigner. A lot of people are watching this Foreigner tour coming up now because there's no original members in the band now. Got a lot of bands that are checking that out to see how that draws. People who own concert venues don't talk about drawing as much as this guy does.
It's true. I gotta say, one of my favorite things about your show is those impressions like you just did.
Well, that's nice of you to say,
I think
Troy.
You're the best at it. You know, I'd love to do a little voice riffing with you, if that's cool. Just for like a second or so.
Oh, okay, just a second.
Yeah. This might be a little obscure for your younger listeners, but I do a pretty good Dr. Detroit.
A pretty good what?
Dr. Detroit?
Dr. Detroit.
From the Dan Aykroyd movie.
Dan Aykroyd movie from the early 80s, mid-80s?
Yes, yeah, right? Where he's like a mild-mannered scientist guy, and then he ends up through this weird confluence, becoming like a crazy pimp. He's kind of like a robot, too.
Yeah.
The doctor is in, Mom! Pretty good, right?
That's a pretty good Dr. Detroit, yeah.
All right, I'll do Dr. Detroit, and you do whoever you want to do. Who do you want to do?
Funkhauser from Kurt.
Oh, I like it. Marty, I'm so sorry about what Larry did about your aunt's obituary.
I just don't understand what he's trying to do to me. I mean, I said to him, Larry, what are you doing? I'm trying to just go through and you're doing this to me. You make me feel like a moron.
Oh my God, I love it. Man, I'll tell you, what a gift you are to all of us. You're like the Howard Stern for the Sriracha Pringles generation.
Okay, I guess I that's nice of you to say.
It's a big compliment, yeah.
Uh-huh. Well, yeah, thank you.
Hey, you know, you've been moaning about your work problems for what seems like four lifetimes, right?
Well, I wouldn't say it's been that long, but, you know.
Well, look, I think your troubles might be over, Tom.
Really? What do you mean?
Well, look, you know, Spike Jonze is pretty much running Viceland right now.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's time for you to run a network.
Well, that could never happen.
It just did.
What? I have no idea what you're talking about, Troy.
I am talking to the new creative director of GPN. I'm the president of GPN. So congratulations, son.
GPN.
Yes.
GPN, that comedy network that's launching in February? Oh, my God. And I'm going to run this place? I'm going to be,
hang on there, son. You're thinking of GCN, the greatest comedy network, that new thing that Judd Apatow is going to launch in February. You'll be running GPN.
What is GPN?
The Gas Pump Network.
What is the Gas Pump Network?
Only the hottest thing to happen to TV since the execution of Archie Bunker, that's all.
Okay, I understand you're hyping it up, but what is the Gas Pump Network?
It's exactly what it sounds like. It's television at your favorite gas pump. And you're going to be in charge of original programming. How cool is that?
But how long could a show be at a... You're talking about the shows that air when you're getting your gas pumped?
Yeah, yeah.
On the little TV screen?
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, how long could a show be? So that's the gas pump network.
Yes, yeah.
Behind those shows.
Yeah.
And how long could a show on the gas pump network even be? Like 2 minutes tops?
No, these are going to be full-length episodic shows. 30 minutes for comedy, an hour for the dramas, like 2 hours for documentaries.
Uh-huh. But that's all well and good, but it really only takes a couple minutes to fill your gas tank.
Well, that might be true, but once we launch our Sharpling original programming, it's going to be just like, you know, in the olden days when families would crowd around the radio to listen to The Shadow, or later on when they'd crowd around the TV to watch the punk episode of Quincy.
Yeah.
Only now they'll be crowded around the gas pump. And I'll tell you, it's a win-win for the gas industry because the shows shut off when the pumping is done.
Wait, so the show shuts off?
Mm-hmm.
So people can't watch unless they continue to buy more gas?
You got it, yes. And I'll tell you, people are going to be drinking gas just to keep watching these shows. They're going to be sitting in the gas station parking lot with the car in park with brakes on the accelerator just so they can run out of fuel and start filling up again and watching more of that great must-pump TV.
Must-pump TV.
Rolls off the tongue, doesn't it?
Yeah, it sounds upsetting, though.
No, man.
Must-pump TV.
It's great, and I can't wait to hear some of your show ideas. There is one show I do have in mind that I have a feeling might be right up your alley.
What's that?
The show's called Can This Not Be a Thing Just Once?
Can this just... What is it? Can this...
Not be a thing just once?
Can this not be a thing just once? What is...
Yes.
What is Can This Not Be a Thing Just Once?
Well, it's kind of an updated version of the newlywed game, but it's with friends instead of spouses. I'll nutshell it for you. Basically, three friends compete to see which one can take a fairly innocuous situation and blow it up into the biggest thing possible. And I'd love to see if you can come up with an idea for a possible scenario. Could you maybe just, I don't know, riff one out right now?
A thing of somebody... Of a friend, something that a friend could escalate into,
yes.
Something that should not even move the needle at all.
Exactly. Yes.
If
yes.
Everybody's being level-headed.
Right.
But if you're looking to be mad at your, if your true intent and agenda is to be, ultimately be mad at your friends.
Yes.
Okay, well what if it's something like, there's a birthday party that I got invited to.
Okay.
And I barely know the person who's throwing the party, but I got invited to it. And let's say they're a semi-famous person or whatever. They're of notoriety or it's appealing to be at their party for whatever
reason. Got it. Okay. That's great.
But I have another friend who's in town. At the same time.
Oh no, so you're obligated, okay.
And he really wants to go to this party, and I don't have the latitude, whatever, to invite.
Right, you're just kind of a guy who got invited, you know?
I'm barely getting in to this thing
right.
As it is, and now this friend wonders why I can't get them into the party. They're from out of town, and it's
right.
And they just want to go, and I'm even questioning their motives of why they want to go so badly. It almost seems
they
like
they probably want to meet a famous person.
Yes, it almost seems like I'm beside the point in this. But when I tell them they can't, that I don't have the power to invite them, then they would turn that into a thing. Is that
right.
The kind of?
That's man. I'll tell you, I love it, and I knew I was making the right call with you. It's great, and I'll tell you, I'm going to order 15 episodes right now.
Uh-huh, okay.
How cool is that? And maybe your friend Jake Fugleness can run it. Word on the street is that things haven't been going that well in the writer's room on the Fabulous Stain series he's doing for Amazon Punk.
Wait, what have you heard?
Well, You didn't hear it from me, all right? But the show is really far behind schedule because he's firing writers left and right because they can't recite lines from that movie Times Square. Remember that movie?
Sure. Yes.
Well, I guess he likes to riff on that. And these writers are kids. They don't know those movies. You know, it ain't their fault.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like Mike Watts said, you can't help when you were born.
Yeah. You can't, I guess you can't help when you were born, and that's a good, well, Mike Watts said it, that's why it's a...
That's right.
Well, that's too bad. I thought that the Fabulous Stain series had a fair amount of promise.
I do too, and the Amazon Punk has got a lot of good stuff in the pipeline. The Circle Jerks seven-parter they're doing looks really good. It's like a very dramatic presentation of their whole story.
I'm really looking forward to that show, Enjoy.
That. Oh, the Descendants thing, yes.
Yeah, I think, because it's my favorite song by them.
Right.
And I just can't wait to see what that's going to be like in television form.
Well, I think it's going to be the potty fair, I think, you know?
I guess so. I would hope they would just rise above that, but I guess that, that's not
good. That's a show right there. Rise above
that. Yes, that would be a great.
Dez Cadena story.
Or what if it was a show where it's all the Black Flag singers live in one house together?
I love it. Yeah.
Black Flag House. Rise Above. Seven Black Flag singers living in one home together.
Writes itself.
Trying not to drive each other crazy.
But you know they do.
Yeah, they can't. They can't not.
No. Oh, hey, I got a boogie. I have a pitch meeting with Julie Klausner in a couple minutes. I tell you, I love difficult people, and I'm so excited to see what she has in mind for a new show. Uh-huh. Very exciting.
Sure. Well, Troy, I actually have to say Julie is going to be in the studio here in a few minutes. I don't know how you're going to do a call with her.
What?
A pitch thing, yeah.
She's going to be there?
Yeah.
Wait, hang on.
What's that?
I just peeked out of my office and into the lobby.
Yeah.
Looks like my assistant Kyle. Oh, jeez. He messed up and he booked a pitch meeting with Julie Costner.
Costner?
Yeah.
That's the woman who does all those, like, equestrian mysteries?
Oh, yes. God, those shows are so boring. Have you seen them? I mean, you couldn't get through one of them. Have you seen like 2 minutes of one? It's enough to for a lifetime.
Yeah.
Oh my God! And what's worse?
Yeah.
She brought a horse to the pitch meeting.
A live horse.
Yes. Yep. Oh, yep, and great. Yep, the horse just took a squeege on my rug.
Ah.
Way to go, Kyle! I'll tell you one thing. I'm putting a stop to this right now.
But, Troy, you gotta stand up for yourself in the guest.
Look, you cannot bring a fully formed horse into an office building! That carpet is from southern Persia, and it cost a damn fortune!
Well, that, they shouldn't bring horses into buildings like that.
Oh my God.
What, was that the horse?
Oh my God. Oh my God. Tom.
What's going on?
You gotta get down here right now.
Why's that? What's going
on? Oh my God! The horse is rabid. It's like Cujo, but taller and with a saddle and stirrups.
Cujo in horse form.
Yes.
Are you okay?
No! Oh, wait. Horse Cujo! You're rabid!
Troy. Mike, trace that line. Mike, trace that line and make sure he's okay. Thanks again for listening to Best Show Best. Much thanks to Jason Gore, Pat Byrne, Martine Sellis, Brendan McDonald, AP Mike, of course, John Worcester, and... Yeah, you, the best show listener. Thank you. And if you like this, check out the full show every Tuesday night from 9 p.m. to midnight at thebestshow.net. And support the best show, patreon.com/thebestshow. Thanks so much for listening. Goodbye.